This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at CincinnatiOpen.com.
Russell T. Davis, the first thing I have to say to you is that producer Dave is a Whovian. We have to get that out.
I thought he had that glint in his eye. That dark tremor.
We have to get that out. And what you do is absolutely brilliant. And I do, and you know, everybody bandies that word around so readily. But with what you do, I do use the word brilliant. I still stand by, and I've looked you in the eye and said this many times, that It's a Sin, I think, is one of the greatest television programmes of all time.
You have said that to me, and I love you for it. Thank you.
And the fact that it's now a ballet.
It has life, a modern dance piece. It's going to be gorgeous. It's like, because what they do at Rombert is, they've done Peaky Blinders like this,
yes,
and which is on the iPlayer, you can go and see that, is you take the essence of the story and concentrate it down into dance, into movement. And as a story, it's full of emotion and passion and love. It's friends being joyous together. It's shocks. It's terrible deaths. It's sadness. It's family coming together. It's a chosen family coming together. There's optimism over terrible circumstances. That, look at me, I'm starting to move.
You are going to be taking part.
Strangely, they haven't asked me.
Gabby, can I see your ballet arms?
I'm here. Do you know, I have danced for Princess Diana, and she recommended that I take up a career in dance. This is a true story.
Okay,
we've gone off script now.
When
I was 18, she married Prince Charles, and did the inaugural tour of Wales. I was part of the Westmorland Youth Theatre, so we put on a show at the Branwen Hall in Swansea, orchestra, choir, and there was a dance piece which was Ralph Vaughan Williams's Job, and I was God. I played God because I was 6'6". I was 6'6". And I stood at the bag in a leotard. In a leotard. Feast your
just
eyes.
Just leotard.
There was a tabard over the top. But being godlike, tights, yes, everything.
Oh, good. Okay.
I was beautiful then. And
you are now.
We did our piece. So after the show, they do the little walk down where they're shaking hands with the cast. And I swear to God, she walked down the line and she came across to me and she said, "Oh, it's God," she said. and then so we had a little chat. She was absolutely delightful. She was so tall. My goodness, she was tall in heels. And she said to me, what are you going to do in life? And I was just off to university. I said, I'm going to Oxford to do English. And she said, what about after that? And I went, oh, I don't know. And she leaned in and she went, dance, dance, dance.
Oh!
I was recommended to dance by Princess Diana. You've now got the best anecdote of my life.
I
might as well just retire now. That's the one I wheel out at 1 a.m. at a dinner party just to get everyone laughing.
Perfect!
And it's true.
Do you know when she would be in the front row wouldn't she?
Absolutely. That's
the truth. It's her world together.
It's her world. Yes, yes, yes. She's mentioned it. It's a Sin for the absolutely famous work she did with HIV. Groundbreaking, world-breaking work. She shook hands with HIV patients in days when no one would, which was astonishing. Oh. So fair dues to her.
You and I have had the conversation about, I remember being in a taxi and I was going off to one of the places and the taxi driver told me to get out of the taxi because of where I asked him to take me.
Yes.
To the Mildmay mission.
Yes.
And he said, get out of the taxi now, you're dirt. And I said, I will. I don't want to be in your taxi.
In your taxi.
And
What days they were. What days they were.
But also, I'm sorry to bring it round. I have to tiptoe, which is, I woke up this morning thinking about it. Melba to me is Savage, our dear, lovely, beautiful friend who's no longer here. Paul,
dear
who's
Paul.
No longer here. But Melba to me was Savage.
Yes.
Melbourne made me cry.
Very true. You've got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That would have been him. Yes. Also, the nice thing about Tiptoe, and It's a Sin, is that Alan Cumming's the lead in Tiptoe. He plays Leo Struthers. He's HIV positive.
Yes.
He's the one thing I could never show in It's a Sin, because it ended in 1991, which is before the medications came along, before there was any treatment, before people started surviving properly. And although there are survivors from those early days. But so now I've got the chance to show of a man living for 30 plus plus years with HIV. He takes one pill a day. He's completely fine. It's undetectable. It's untransmittable in him. And that's a nice
payoff. It's wonderful.
That I never got to do.
It's wonderful.
Ago. Yeah.
But the pills went from one shelf to the other shelf.
What's going on? You noticed that.
David Morrissey's, his performance is chilling because there's so much underneath there.
Yeah.
But it's a brilliant, brilliant piece of television. Again, you've done it again. On the first episode of It's a Sin, I knew those people so well, and I cared about them all.
That cast.
And then it's exactly the same with last night. I woke up thinking about them, very concerned about Melba. I thought Melba's speech was with you and how you passionately... I mean, in years and years you said it all.
Yes, yes.
I sound like a complete and utter stalker.
Tolling bell. Yeah. That's what I am.
But it's... The words that need to be said out loud, you're able to do.
I think so. There's lots of funny reviews this morning saying, Russell T. Davis's dramas are always on the nose, as though drama should just waft gently about your nose while you subtly detect the aromas of text and subtext. I'm on the nose, Gabby.
Yes.
I'm on the nose.
Even with children's wards.
That's what you have to be. The world is noisy, the world is loud, the world is in trouble.
Yeah.
If we're not on the nose, God help us, you won't get noticed. You'll sink in a morass of detective shows, cop shows, whatever shows.
Yes.
It's like I am noisy as I can possibly be.
And keep being noisy.
Thank you.
But the thing of Tiptoe that I found so incredible is obviously we saw the ending. We saw that moment.
Yes.
We were all, as a family, we watched it as a family with
it's
my
a
daughters.
Shock, that first scene.
That is really shocking. But I need to know what leads to that first scene.
Yes, that's...
And that's where I care. And that's what you... And with It's a Sin and with Years and Years as well.
Oh.
I mean, how did you know what was going to happen in the world? Seriously, who gives you the insight?
I think with Years and Years, I threw everything at the screen, so I think about 50% of them happened to be true. And although I did a lot of research, to be honest.
But you weren't going to know what's going to happen in the future, or how do you?
Well,
do you have a magic ball?
I did predict the invasion of Ukraine in that, but if you looked at what Russia had been doing with Crimea, then it was kind of, you just thought, that's the next stage. And the South China Sea hasn't quite kicked off in the way that I imagined it would in Years and Years, but that's on its way. Just wait. There's growing problems there that we're just taking our eye off them. So you just It's more extraordinary to me that these things aren't talked about all the time.
They should be.
And they're all sitting there waiting.
Well, also the war between the land and the sea. I mean, you just know. I want to. I've never. Okay, where is your crystal ball? Where do you keep it?
It's in my head all the time, and it's like it's hard because I have to look at the world, and you can see these things coming. And I sit there. I do sit watching the rest of drama, thinking, why aren't we all angry? Why aren't we all predicting this? Why aren't we talking about this? I find the rest of drama puzzling as opposed to my own. But maybe every writer feels like that, really.
But you also there are dramas and books that you really like because when you put them up on your socials, if you say something is good, I will go there. And I will watch it. And you're very, very passionate about your craft, though, aren't you?
Oh, well, and do you know what? I don't post bad reviews. I think the world is too full of rubbish and
hatred. I totally agree.
It's like I see read books I don't like. I see films I don't like. Why post about that?
What's
the point? If I love it, then I'll post about it. Spread the word.
But it's because you really care about the industry and the craft, don't you?
Well, I think anyone who's written something has pulled their heart out and their soul out. And it's hard. It is a noisy world. Getting a book seen is very, very hard. And I sometimes think the smaller books go and see if I try and find those and promote them. And it's an effort, isn't it? But you have to. You do as well. You're a great champion of these things. You're amazing.
Yeah, but be positive, though. It's all about being positive.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to, if we may, It's a Sin, the ballet. So you and the Pet Shop Boys. executive producers of a ballet.
How amazing. Yeah, it's going to be a good opening night. Come to the opening night.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. But so this is, it's the story of It's a Sin in one...
It's the same story.
I've
had to give various notes. It's interesting, there are things that don't work. For example, one of the things that works on screen is that Richie, the lead character, played by Ollie Alexander, lives on the Isle of Wight. And I did that so there's a great distance, so that he had to kind of make an epic journey across the sea when he went home, and it just made everything. You can't really do that on stage. You're not going to put up a signpost saying Isle of Wight that way and have a cardboard ferry going past. Although I would love that. But it's like, you can't feel the distance in the same way. So then you look at the story, but you just, again, it's what I say, concentrating it down, whittling it down to its essence. So you sit there saying, well, it's not about the Isle of Wight ferry. It's about a man being separated from his friends by his family. So that's what you put on stage. That's what will happen, which is essentially exactly the same story. So it will remind you of your favourite moments. It will have new aspects to it. There's going to be a glorious celebration of clubbing in the 1980s, which is going to be a fantastic sequence. You know, we had little moments of that on screen. Can you imagine a dance company putting that on? So it's going to be full of the joy and life of the show as well.
And it's touring, which is lovely, which means that everybody gets to see
it. It's even going to Truro. Apparently that's a great theatre there with a great arts community, very invested in dance. In Truro, Norwich, Southampton, Edinburgh, Bristol. There's going to be a premiere in Cardiff, Sadler's Wells in London. And it's a year-long thing, beyond a year. It's not coming to Sadler's Wells until next October 2027. So it's a great big venture. It's going to Luxembourg. Will they fly me to Luxembourg? I wouldn't mind that. Come on.
You've got to go. You've got to go to all of it.
I have actually been. It's very landlocked and small, actually, Luxembourg. It's like, oh, there we go.
Surely it's going to go over to the States as well, isn't it?
Too early to say, but there are plans. Like I say, Romba did this with Peaky Blinders and that went everywhere. And so a lot of countries will wait to see what it's like and then book themselves in.
Fantastic.
But we hope it'll run and run and run.
So let's go. I do want to, if we may, talk some more about Tiptoe, because it's really affected me.
Well, thank you.
When you put a show like that together, do you start with the characters first or their story?
Same thing to me. I get asked that a lot. I especially get asked that by writers. Yeah. Do you think of the character first or the story first? There is no character without a story, and there is no story without a character. They literally... Do you know what? They come straight into my head with their names. They just... Boom, as Leo lives next door to Clive. And I almost never change the names. And if I have to, sometimes I have to change the name because of a copyright thing. Like if I invented a baker called Roy Tubbs, and it turns out there is a baker called Roy Tubbs. You can't use that name. And when
it's
I have to
do
that,
a good name for a baker.
I just did it. and if I have to do that, that character never quite works for me ever again. I'm like, I'm less interested in Roy now. Leave that. I'm just lucky that that's the shape brain I've got. And I call myself lucky again.
You said it again.
I did. But I was born like this, thinking of these things all the time.
Does your brain ever stop?
No, not really.
Yeah.
No. But it can't. It's the way I think.
Do you sleep?
I do. I sleep very well.
Do you?
Well, now I get arthritis in my 60s. That's a whole other story. Do you get arthritis?
No. But fish oils? Do you take your fish oils?
I'm taking everything.
It's
severe arthritis. My doctor said severe arthritis. And I went, is that a description or a diagnosis? She went, diagnosis. I was like, thanks.
Okay, so you get the names of the characters. You get all of that. When the actors came in, this is a really strange question.
No, go on.
But did you cast it in your head before? Because the casting is so spot on in everything you do.
No, to be honest, if you do that, you run the risk of not getting that actor.
Oh, okay.
It's like, David Morrissey could say, I'm doing a thriller that year, so I'm busy. I'm doing Gone 2 or something, and off he goes. So we did unusually approach Alan Cumming first. I've never done that before, because I'd always wanted to work with him, and isn't he a perfect
Leo? Oh, he's perfect.
We cast him as well. He's actually referred to as Scottish in the script. It's him in detail. But apart from that, no, it's just you cast well, and I mean...
Brilliant casting with all the things you do.
Because I would never have thought we'd get David Morrissey for this, because in some ways, technically, it's the second lead.
Yes.
But that's not fair, because, of course, he's an equal lead. He's so brilliant. Yeah, yeah. But I thought, oh, God, he might read this and think I'm the second. Wait till you get to episode 3, he absolutely becomes the lead, because you suddenly see everything from Clive's point of view. It's an episode that starts with Clive and ends with Clive, so you understand
there's
him
such
a lot more.
Darkness there.
Oh, my goodness. But such sorrow as well.
Yes.
Such loss, such hopelessness, you know? He's a man adrift, and he, honestly, watch episode 3, you'll get so much sympathy for him, even while he's doing terrible things, I hope.
Oh.
Oh.
If you say so. I mean, I actually do completely trust you. We just have to just talk about DW. We have to. It's really weird not to talk about Doctor Who.
Of course it is. Are you auditioning, Gabby?
Yes, I'm the new Doctor. Should we tell everybody now?
That would be, yes.
Can we tell everybody?
It's time to release.
But isn't it weird that the same thing, the Doctor Who and James Bond, the conversations that every single day on socials, or you'll be out with friends or something, and they'll look at me and they're, oh, you probably know who the next James Bond is.
What?
I don't. Oh, you'll know who the next
Doctor
Who
is. They've got more of a puzzle than we have. I think we can just happily quite turn around and regenerate. It's actually quite easy. What on earth are they going to do with Daniel Craig? I'd love to know. I would love to know. There was an open pitch for writers It was like, if you'd like to... No, I said no. Oh. I'm just not into it. But it's because Stephen Knight of Peaky Blinders won it, the commission. But it was an open call to like say, if you'd like to approach us with your pitch for James Bond,
we'd be delighted. Who would be James Bond in your eyes?
Oh, my goodness. Do you know what? I've never thought about that.
I know who I'd want.
Who?
Me. Idris.
Obviously. Oh, do you think? Yeah.
I think
Idris Elba. Hasn't he said no, he won't do it? Yeah. I think someone unknown would be just marvellous. Every time they say Jacob Elordi, I get very excited because that's what Jacob Elordi is for. To make me very excited.
Love you. And they also say Callum Turner. That's the other one.
Yes, that's very, very interesting.
He's just got
and
married.
What I like there is they're looking at really classy actors in the way that they did with Daniel Craig. Remember how he surprised everyone?
Yeah.
That's what's interesting. He wasn't on anyone's radar ever. That was a complete
shock.
But you
know Daniel,
I suspect they'll
do
that again. No, I don't know him.
I thought you did.
I wish I did. You think I'm mates with Daniel Craig?
Bye, Gabs.
I'm off to dance.
I thought you knew him.
I wish I wouldn't be here. I'd be round his pool.
NYT.
Right now. I'm so sorry. Oh, I wish.
Oh,
what kind
God.
Of world do you think I live in, Gabby Roslin? I am much more likely to have Annie Walker.
Okay, so let's talk about theatre as well, though, because I know you're very passionate about live theatre. Are you going to be writing some live theatre?
That's interesting. I feel life turning that way slightly. I've been part of the Welsh National Theatre, which Michael Sheen has launched, and I was kind of like an executive on their production of Our Town, which you went to see that, didn't you? It was lovely, wasn't it? That gorgeous old play by Thornton Wilder. Yeah. I loved it. And so they have many more plans. It's like that's like an open door.
Which
is lovely, and I've had various approaches from people. Nothing planned there at all. It's funny, now the Tiptoe's done, I have nothing planned now, so that
but more Tiptoe.
That's a bit hard.
I know. We see the end, but I still care about all of those people.
Yes, there is that. It's funny. I always get halfway through a show and want to write more, and then I get to the end of the show. I think no, it's got an ending.
Okay, all right.
Things
are
defined by their ending in the end.
But
you know?
Are there any more of the other shows coming back?
My other shows. I'd rather do something. No, the next thing I have got a script to sit down and write, and it's brand new. That's my life.
No one
even knows about it yet. It's just me. No, I don't tell anyone.
Do you know yourself?
I know myself, yes. Otherwise, they start having opinions. They start going, oh, that'll be good when you do this, that. And I'm like, shut up. I'm writing it. Leave me alone.
I remember being out with you one night, and we were standing there, and I suddenly started giggling, and you kept saying to me, why are you laughing? I said, oh, and I saw all these actors, they were gravitating, they were coming towards you, and you were saying, just protect me, and I sort of stood there.
That.
You know, we were having a laugh, and you knew that, and they were all coming out going, right, what's next? Russell, what's next?
My boyfriend's like, aren't actors nice and friendly? I'm like, yeah.
Your boyfriend is so lovely.
That's Oliver Cole, everyone. He's beautiful, isn't he? I'm very lucky.
Oh,
it's
so
a year now,
sweet.
It's been a year since we started saying hello. Yeah.
That's so lovely.
Amazing. I'm very lucky.
But to see you that happy as well.
Well, and I was widowed 8 years ago, and you kind of think that's it, genuinely. And at 63, you do think that's it. Fine, I've had a lovely time. So for this to happen, it's a great surprise and very lovely.
I'm so pleased for you.
Thanks.
Okay, so we always ask all of our guests the one thing that brings them real joy.
Oh.
Could you share what brings you real joy, please?
The thing that brings me real joy is my family, actually. I remember my mother died in 1991. We all kind of thought we'd split apart. And we did the opposite. We really stayed very closely together. My two sisters, and they've each got two children each. And now one of my nieces has had two children, and we're very close. And we'll have a meal. We'll have a feast. And we like a laugh. So a great, joyful thing in my life.
Thank you very much for that.
Does everyone say that?
No,
because
we're
a terrible family.
No, do you know what?
You
lots of people either they have a something they bring in a something or the something,
right.
Or they talk about family or their dog.
Heard.
A lot of dogs. Russell T. Davis is always an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hooray.